3 a.m. Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, your home for original reporting.
I'm Linda Kenyon in Washington. New tension in the Korean Peninsula.
I'm Tom Foti. After North Korea warned of what it called a strong response to upcoming joint military drills involving the U.S. and South Korea, it fired at least one ballistic missile toward the sea off its east coast. That word from Japanese and South Korean military officials after the South Korean announcement of computer-simulated combined training in mid-March. North Korea usually reacts angrily to those military drills to its south, and this time around promised what it called an unprecedentedly persistent strong response. Tom Foti, CBS News, Washington.
Vice President Harris attending the Munich Security Conference.
The United States has formally determined that Russia has committed crimes against humanity.
The vice president cited, among other things, deportations of children from Ukraine to Russia, calling it a cruel separation of children from their parents. Harris said the international community has both a moral and a strategic interest in pursuing those crimes. The Biden administration formally determined last March that Russian troops had committed war crimes in Ukraine and said it would work with others to prosecute offenders. The five former Memphis police officers accused in the beating death of 29-year-old Tyree Nichols have entered their pleas. CBS's Elise Preston was in the courtroom.
Not guilty.
One by one and wearing masks, the five former Memphis police officers all pleaded not guilty through their attorneys to second-degree murder and other charges in the brutal beating death of Tyree Nichols.
They didn't even have the courage to look at me in my face.
Nichols' mother, Rovon Wells, was inside the courtroom.
I'm really waiting for somebody to wake me up, but I also know that's not going to happen.
All five former police officers are free on bond. Their next court date is set for May 1st. A shooting rampage has shaken a rural community in northern Mississippi. The suspected gunman, identified as 52-year-old Richard Dale Crum, is accused of killing six people, including his ex-wife and his stepfather. CBS's Dina Demetrius picks up the story from there.
Crum is charged with first-degree murder, and now his own town is in shock.
It is such a tragedy. Most people are just really good, and we never would have thought anything like that would have happened here.
Mississippi's governor says the suspect acted alone. Dina Demetrius, CBS News.
The killings happened at a convenience store and two homes within a few miles of each other. Richard Dale Crum is being held without bond and on a single count of capital murder. But investigators say they are pursuing additional charges against him. This is CBS News.
WAUK 540 AM, Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Home heating bills in Wisconsin are going up this winter. Experts say there are steps you can take to reduce the impact. Mike Moen has more.
The Energy Information Administration predicts that Midwest households that rely on natural gas will spend an average of $1,000 on heating bills this winter. That's a 33% increase over last year. Whitney Hayes of the energy nonprofit Elevate agrees the region will see cost headaches in the coming months.
We're expecting gas prices to continue to go up this winter because of things like the war in Ukraine, and we're still doing a lot of recovery from COVID and shipping and supply shock and whatnot. So
she advises that small things such as making sure there's air sealing around windows and doors can produce savings on your bill. And energy experts say electric heat pumps have come down in price and are now more reliable in extremely cold weather. David Kalata of the Citizens Utility Board agrees that heat pumps are a strong alternative to natural gas, but he stresses they still might be out of reach for low-income households and that policymakers need to offer more incentives to make them accessible to everyone. Meanwhile, he says maximizing these options will make a difference.
And if you take advantage of this program and then you'll seal cracks in windows and maybe install energy-efficient light bulbs, all of that works together holistically.
For those worried about their heat being disconnected this winter, most Midwestern states have cold weather rules, which require utilities to offer a payment arrangement to avoid that scenario.
Budget billing programs don't save you money over the course of a year, but they smooth out your payments, so you pay less in the winter and more in the summer.
Mike Moen, Wisconsin News Connection.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell.
Wisconsin's spring primary election is Tuesday, February 21st, and your local Civic Media radio station will be tracking the results.
Special live coverage starts at 7 p.m., and News Director Terry Bell, with a team of political experts, will be following which candidates, both local and in the state Supreme Court race, move on to April.
Spring primary election coverage live, Tuesday, February 21st, starting at 7, here on your local Civic Media radio station, streaming on the Civic Media app.
A progressive voice from Manitowoc to Janesville. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com. You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
Never made it as a wise man. I couldn't cut it as a poor man stealing. Tired of living like a blind man. I'm sick of sight without a sense of feeling. And this is how you remind me.
Welcome back to Raised in Wisco. It is finally February, and I am very excited about this. And the reason why this intro took a little while for me to get to is because I was busy laughing. If you remember back on January 19th, I had a couple of hooligans. A couple of hooligans in the studio, Max Zaruba and Roman Tuller, Hardwater Freaks themselves. They're in the studio again. Last week they had their Hardwater Freaks fishing event, not a jamboree, because it is there for people to just get out there, hang out, talk, and just do what you're supposed to do, which is have a great time out on the ice. And it's not about competition. It's teaching. It's showing. It's learning. It's laughing. It's drinking.
Have a good time. Come and go fishing. I don't care how you fish or what you fish for. Have a good time fishing.
Yep. And it was just very exciting. I would say how did it go, but you're still waiting for the info to come back. But yeah, so January 19th, we talked about more or less just Hardwater Freaks and getting the veterans and children out in it. And we had a couple of people call in from Concrete Crappy, but that's just a little inside joke I found out.
Concrete by Crappy's LLC is a real thing to five people. Outside of that, it is not a real thing. It is all fun.
I definitely thought it was, and I was definitely wondering why she named it that, but now this all, it all makes
sense. The story, it's all having a few shots of Fireball, and it all goes from there.
But that was Stephanie Jackson, which is awesome to have another female on in the ice, another female on in the woods. So on and so forth, just to promote us, because we're out there doing everything you guys are doing. And then Megan called in. I don't remember Megan's last name.
Megan Zilsdorf.
Zilsdorf.
Yeah.
That's a fun last name.
From La Crosse, Wisconsin.
But she is Casting Queens.
Mm-hmm.
And I am finding out that it is a superb website to go for females, for because it will give us... I don't even know how to say it. It will give us guide on what to buy for just females, like the DSG, how it's so much easier and it fits better for, in the chest area and for other things.
The whole purpose of Casting Queen thing. Is women's insight on
yep.
women fishing.
And then
not.
We get to ask questions that we need to ask without feeling judged,
yep.
which is a huge thing for us females.
It's huge. And there's no egos.
Yeah, there's no egos. Okay. And it's just... Oh, you want to try this? Oh, let me help you. This is what worked out for me. This is what worked out for me. And then you just compile all the information together and have a great freaking time on the ice. Or duck hunting or pheasant hunting or rabbit hunting, anything.
Or catching stray cats in Maguanago, Wisconsin.
Oh, that's a thing?
That poop on your deck.
Oh, okay. We will find out what that is.
I will find you.
We
I have a particular
you.
Set of skills.
We have live traps.
I will find you.
And if you remember from January 19th, how much I laughed, probably lost 6-7 pounds just by laughing. You guys are definitely a hoot. And you guys have been friends. It was fate. Wait, you guys are friends because you're
we hold hands.
Like, I mean, it was fake. We hold hands. The best friends hold hands. So, yeah. I mean, he makes me a bracelet out of beads that's shaped like a lizard for my backpack. And I make him some origami, like a little star, and I glaze it, and he puts it in his backpack.
Yeah. And we wear them together, and then we combine forces.
Yeah. Yes. You ever heard of the Power Rangers?
I was going to say Powderpuff Girls,
they
sure.
Learned. They learned from us, so we just went from there.
And then you were talking about, Roman, how your kids got on the ice and had a great time just ice fishing, and they caught a bunch of bass and everything, and how the wifey comes out every once in a while. And
she used to, yeah. We used to fish. When we first started dating, we fished together all the time. And now my daughters love to come out. One of them loves to come out, and she's built her hit list now. So she got some pretty nice bass, 16-inch bass, through the ice by herself. And she got a pike last weekend. So now dad has started building her a hit list of other fish to catch, which I have yet to catch myself.
Why don't you tell the fan base what you did with the two bass that your daughter caught? They were legal, but what did you do with those, Roman?
What did you do with those?
We ate them, and they were delicious. I'm sorry to every bass fisher out of there. I'm not sorry, actually, but winter bass are delicious.
I'm not a bass eater.
I have a confession. Yes. I haven't released a legal bass during ice fishing in probably 20 years. So there's that.
Because you haven't caught a legal bass?
It's because I eat every single
one. Winter bass
are delicious.
And I don't say I just eat just the bass, but I chunk them and I put them in with bluegills, perch, and crappie fish fries.
Yeah.
You don't know the difference.
Yep.
Or if you got a friend who's like, hey man, if you got any extra fish, which apparently that's a thing, but like extra venison. Oh yeah, let me just go get some beef and mail it to you.
I'm glad I went out there for you. Yeah,
I froze my butt off for 6 days of shot of deer. And here's a bunch of meat.
To all my friends that got a fish fry from me, newsflash, you got a bass. You're welcome.
Well, that is also one of the other favorite things I love to do on the ice is just catch it, fillet it, eat it.
Mm-hmm.
I am definitely a fan of that.
Catch it? Oh, you mean like eating it on the ice?
Eating right on the ice.
I eat the whole fish like on the ice.
Oh, just...
Well, shiners. Shiners. No, I've never really done a catch and cook. I've caught them. We used to camp out in like Monaco. We had hit a lake. Mm-hmm. Way back in the woods, and then set up shanties on shore with cots. Him and I did it.
Yep.
I brought my generator. We brought the pizza oven. We made pizza the whole
deal. That sounds awesome.
Had the generator to recharge everything, and you will never sleep better than you will sleep in an ice shanty in the woods in the middle of winter because it's purified air, and it's chilly, and you're just gone. And you wake up, and you're
That'd be nice.
I'm staying here this week. I'm not coming out.
Is it Sunday? And we came on Wednesday.
Yeah, it's insane. But I've never done a catch and cook on the ice. I've done a catch and cook right off the ice where I was camping, but never like on the ice.
There's a few that I like, just friends and family. We had a family reunion on the ice where we just have a bonfire and cook all the fish right there, and everyone else doing tip off fishing. And here, me and a couple of people are just bobbing holes and they're just drinking, you know, the normal.
Yeah.
Ice fishing thing.
For those people tuning in and hearing this, make sure that if you do a catch and cook on the ice, every fish that you catch, cook, and eat, and while you stay on the ice, counts towards your bag limit.
No,
do not think that because you shove the old body down the hole you are back at zero, because you are not. So be super careful. Just make sure you read your regulations. I don't care what state you're in or where you're at. There are counties and lakes in Wisconsin that have different rules and regulations. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to do a catch and cook, make sure there's nothing at the launch that says otherwise, because there are lakes that say that you can't do certain things.
Yes, and there's always going to be somebody watching and always going to be someone that's hating on you that's going to call you in too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you're from out of town, the locals are babysitting you.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I mean, that's nothing against locals. They're watching to make sure you're not doing things stupid.
Yep.
And
keeping it safe and keeping the traditions alive for everybody.
Just like down here.
Next generation.
On my cell phone, I have all the local wardens. They have all the local wardens. So if you're going to do something stupid, just be ready for if somebody sees you doing like shoving fish bodies down the hole while you're doing a catch and cook. Just be careful.
Yeah, if you're going to do that, you're going to ruin it for everybody else. And there's no point of that, because then things are going to happen to you and it's going to ruin it.
Yeah.
There's no point of that.
Make sure you read your regulations if you're going to do a catch and cook. I don't do them. This is not really my thing. And we've never really done it on the ice either.
No, I've always wanted to. I just don't feel like dragging a generator out there to power my fry daddy and bring the oil and everything else out there. Rather just toss a brat on the grill.
Get the propane tank. And
you get the propane one.
That's what I do. That's what we do. We get the propane one.
You only have to drag 12 gallons of freaking oil.
Western cooking oil. Yeah. And Andy's Cajun. Yeah. No way affiliated with Andy's Cajun.
No way affiliated with Andy's
Cajun ever. I tell everybody about Andy's
Cajun. Andy's Cajun is the best breading.
But the Cajun kind, do not bake it, because that stuff is
only fried.
It is
I only eat fried fish fries.
Yep. I only eat my fish deep fried.
I definitely thought the same amount of Cajun seasoning on a baked fish was going to be similar, like a nice little sinus cleanser.
Not to be political, but people who bake fish they catch out of lakes is what is wrong with America. Deep fry them things.
It's the only way to eat them is deep fried.
You don't get the summer body from eating fried food all the time.
I like my cholesterol high, not deep fried.
Oh my gosh. But compared to last episode, I want to more target this episode towards safety on the ice.
Okay.
And then just like duck hunting. Like, what do you do in the off season? I know you go fishing when there's plain old water, week of the year
that I don't fish other than September 1st until like the end of November, beginning December when I'm duck hunting.
Oh, perfect.
So I fish every other aspect. I will fish for carp, for God's sakes. Like, I will fish.
So you go bow fishing and everything?
I do not bow fish, but I would rather fish for carp with a worm on the bottom of a lake that doesn't have carp then sit at home and not fish.
So you like fishing, you say?
I fish a little bit.
A little bit?
Like once or twice a day.
I heard this Roman character was a lot better than you, so.
Oh,
here we go. Excuse me, sir, but I like to fish. I don't fish nearly as much as Max, but yeah, we like to fish. I do bow fish.
Yeah.
I started bow fishing with my buddy Dustin, owner operator of Outlaw Bow Fishing,
Outlaw bow fishing.
In Pewaukee, Wisconsin. But
we've
done a ton of bow fishing over the years. Didn't do any in the last couple of years just because I've been so, I guess, occupied with other things.
Life gets in the way sometimes.
Life, kids, family, fishing. You got to find a good balance between all of it. And bow fishing kind of took a lot of
stuff gets in the way of me too. I have to go to work.
Like, you got to put your pants on.
I have to shower. No, I don't have kids or anything like Roman. But Roman, I mean, for being a dad with two kids, especially two kids that are young, that can nearly not watch themselves, Roman fishes more than any dad I've ever met. I guess comparable to you would be Jim Harold. Jim fishes about as much, but he does fish less than Roman because Roman has the benefit of living across the street from a lake nearby. Oh. We will not name that lake because we do catch some nice fish out of there. But Roman does have the ability to leave his house and be on the ice or in the kayak or in the boat in less than like 4 minutes.
Nice. That's definitely a benefit. Yeah, I live on the mill pond right now.
Which one?
Manches.
Tell me all your spots.
What lake?
There is nothing there. Yeah, I have seen so many. It's public land.
Yeah, I used to bow hunt right there.
I don't even know what I'm supposed to say right now.
I grew up in North Lake.
I never knew Manches existed until I got kicked out of our rental because the market was booming and they said, hey, you got 2 months to get out of there.
No, that's good.
So I was like, oh, this is fun. So I had to find a place with store all of our stuff.
Yeah.
That's big enough and nice enough for me. And I hate the city.
We all hate the city.
Surprisingly, I hate people, but I love people. Does that make sense? Like, I don't want to be around people all the time, but I also want to be around people. I want to have my space. But the house that we live in was in Manches. I never knew it existed. Never once. And then when we went out there to look at it, and it was across the street from public hunting land.
Low Lake.
Yep, exactly.
Kettle Moraine unit.
Yep, and it's...
We've both bow hunted there.
It's giant phenomenal.
Yeah.
A nice buck died down the road from us, and I was like, oh, what a waste of meat.
It is a low lake area. Kettle Moraine area is a great area to be hunting for anything, including ducks. Slower on the ducks, slower on the fishing, but overall, a great place to get outdoors.
It is.
Especially as long as you get
outdoors, it's nice.
Yeah.
You're listening to Raised in Wisco, 540 AM, 101 FM.
Max Inc. Radio, we are local music with Pete from the Skin Tones.
Here, you have been warned. Not only Madison, the rest of Wisconsin and the U.S., Skin Tones, we're coming at you. We're going to be committing rock atrocities. We're fit. We're in shape. We are tight. We are muscular. We are attractive for our ages. And we are sexy as hell.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday nights, 6 p.m. to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Charged, never convicted. The Devil's Advocates.
Jim Santel for just a few more minutes. As you point out, this is a civil trial, not a criminal trial. Do you think that the Trump org will end up with the death penalty under New York law?
Letitia James, she's doing a civil case, right? This is a criminal matter.
Oh, it is. So I misunderstood.
It is, yes.
Normally I leave the being wrong to Dom.
Right?
Listen Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
You've got questions about navigating the healthcare system? Kristen Lierley helps us find answers and discusses other issues at the intersection of healthcare and politics. Hometown Health, Thursday mornings at 7:30 on Up North News Radio.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times this afternoon, with highs around 38. Winds out of the southwest, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Lows dip down to about 30 tonight. Cloudy skies expected. A mix of clouds and sun tomorrow, high of 41. Overcast skies Monday, decreasing clouds by Tuesday, highs in the mid-30s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 32 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk, from Butler to Windlake. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
Of the show, Joe Clayfish is gone this weekend. I do not remember what he is doing, but of course we miss him. June, I'm all the way in June already. But January 19th, we had Hardwater Freaks, Max and Roman on the show, and they're back here today for part two because we talked too much about Hardwater Freaks and just everything in general that just popped in our head. But this week we kind of want to direct it more towards, you know, everything else.
Ice fishing.
I feel like we need to dive into this 8-minute segment about safety on ice because I know it's going to get.
I will never say I'm the king of early ice safety, but I've had a ton of my early ice safety videos go viral because I'm very educated with the who, what, when, where, why, how. And I've had a ton of people from videos years ago reach out and be like, hey, I just saw that video. I'm like, which one? You know, because I've done a bunch of them. But if we're just to dive right into the topic, early ice safety, I mean, I said it on the last episode and I'll say it again, but don't trust social media. Don't trust places like LakeLink and all these other websites and these that do not trust what somebody else has to say. There's only one thing you can trust, and it's your spud bar. Having a float suit, that's cool. That's a preventative measure once you're in the water.
Yep.
Having a rope, that's real nice for once you're in the water. Having a friend, that's also super nice once you're in the water. But there is nothing that you can trust more than a spud bar, because a spud bar will tell you every 3 feet, 2 feet, 1 foot. It doesn't matter how far you're swinging, if it is safe of what's in front of you. Mm-hmm. All that other stuff is great if you fall through, but it is worthless until you fall through.
Yep.
So your spud bar. I mean, if you don't own a spud bar, you need a spud bar.
To tell people what spud bar is, don't fish.
People that don't fish, if you don't know, it's imagine a big piece of metal with a spade on the end of it, and it's for slamming into the ice and
like slamming. When you say slamming,
stabbing. It's like a big chisel. It's like a 5 foot chisel.
Yeah. Exactly what it is.
And you're slamming it into the ice. And for me, my spud bar, personally, I tested it out when I bought it and everything. One swing, if no water comes out, it's 3 inches of ice. I know I can walk on that, but I can only walk on that for another 3 feet until the next spud bar strike. It doesn't mean the whole lake's safe. It means where that is safe. So test it out. You know, women or weaker men or stronger men are going to swing it. And it's, you know, one swing means more or less.
Oh, yeah.
Mine means 3 inches. If I hit it and no water comes out, it's 3 inches, 100%. I know that every single time. And then knowing like quality of ice, like if it is white ice, it is weaker than black ice. Black ice is solid, clear ice. It can hold twice as much as white ice. And then there's honeycomb ice, is where it literally looks like a honey bunches of oat piece of cereal. And I mean, it's the weakest ice possible. It can't hold anything. I mean, unless it's still 16 inches.
See, I did not know that was the weakest ice possible.
So
that's, like your, that's like your late season ice.
Late season.
It warm, starts getting warm, like temperatures we had now, well, rain.
Yeah, I was going to say, back in January, I went out to a specific lake and...
What lake?
What?
That one with the, with the parking lot.
No.
The one with the parking lot and the trees.
Oh, yeah, that one, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I went out there and it was good. It was clear, super clear. Perfect, beautiful. But then it got warmer. And then went back out there just to look at it because I trust myself, but I don't trust myself because I'm new at this still. And I'm still learning my spud bar, but it was just, it looked like honeycombs. So I was like, oh, so that just means it's refreezing being, like, it should be safe.
That means that the water has pitted through it. That's what honeycombing is. It means that
there's air pockets.
There's, yeah. It's pitting, and then it creates these air pockets, and it pretty much is like a beehive, like, yeah, to be honest with you. And it's from water sitting, and the water gets warm, and it eats its way through, and it pits it. But that is the weakest form of ice because it's literally just going to crumble underneath you.
I'm glad I said heck no and turned around. And
what's really crazy about the black ice, the best ice there is the ice that you can see through.
The scariest.
See the weeds. See the bottom of the lake.
That's the best ice. For, yeah. I love going out on that.
The scariest ice is the safest. It's the stuff that looks like it's 1 inch thick, but it's 6 inches thick. Mm-hmm. It's black ice.
Yeah, once you see those cracks go through, and the first time I heard cracks, like, from everybody walking on, when you go to, like, the big, like, out in Madison.
Yeah.
When you just see herds of people just walking out there, and also you hear the distinct sound of cracking. Dear Lord, the first couple times I wish I had a female suit on so I can easily get that thing off.
I don't care who you
it
are.
Is the scariest sound.
If you're beginning ice fishing, that sound, those cracks will make you pucker, and it will literally make you watertight in every orifice of your body.
Making ice, though. Like, hearing that sound is a good sound, right?
Because it's definitely
it's
a
making
good sound.
Ice.
And it usually happens.
And it
took
me forever to convince myself that.
When it's super cold out, you'll start hearing the ice sound. And it scares a lot of people that aren't used to it. Mm-hmm. But for those people who are used to it, it's the best sound ever.
It is. It's a good sound. And I just hope that I can see it. This sounds so silly. I hope I can hear it go through my leg. Like, I could see it crack. Like, that'd be nice, the sound.
Here you go.
Oh.
You can hear that?
Yeah, that's the exact sound.
That's what it sounds like when ice is getting made.
Like the Titanic hitting an iceberg, but mm-hmm. it's such a good sound. You need to hear that sound because it's making ice. So you want to hear that.
Yeah, and so another little ice safety thing, ice forms down. It does not form up. So ice will cap. It's called capping. It's where it gets cold enough, the air temperature gets cold enough that it cools off the top layer, 1/8 inch, 1/16 inch, whatever, where it caps it. Like you see a mud puddle freeze in the morning, it's open in the afternoon. So it's called capping. So it caps it, and then it forms down. And that noise that you hear, ice does not slowly form down. A layer underneath the ice gets so cold. Have you ever taken a water bottle out of the freezer, and it was water, and then you cracked it, and it immediately froze?
Mm-hmm.
That's what the ice is doing, and that's why it's going boom, 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 is because it's freezing in segments, not like growing slow. It's just big segments keep freezing.
That's pretty neat. I just heard it. I liked it.
Yeah.
Knew it was good.
And that was a cool
noise. That was the depth of info I went into it. So that's really cool to know.
For sure.
You are a guru of ice fishing, aren't you?
I won't ever take credit for that. But I mean, it's just anybody who's been fishing that long knows that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But so like early ice safety, obviously spud bar. And obviously after that, that's where like your ice suit, your rope, your buddy system, that's where that all comes into play. And if you wanted to get super further into that, like say you're going up north for early ice, you're going to want to find lakes that can have access on the south shoreline. And the reason is because when the sun is in the southern part of the hemisphere, per se, whether you believe in flat earth, round earth, I don't care. But nonetheless, when the shadows are casting on the south shoreline, ice forms faster and thicker there. When it's hitting the north side of a shoreline on these small lakes, it's heating up the shoreline and makes the ice weaker.
It's so interesting.
Mm-hmm.
You know so much. I know so little. Hate it so much. But you're listening to Raised in Wisco on 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Wisconsin's home for rational talk radio.
CBS News Brief. Japan's prime minister is strongly condemning North Korea after it fired a long-range ballistic missile into the sea off Japan's west coast. Vice President Harris is in Munich condemning Russia for crimes against humanity.
Russian forces have pursued a widespread and systemic attack against a civilian population. Gruesome acts of murder, torture, and deportation.
The five former Memphis police officers accused in the beating death of Tyree Nichols have pleaded not guilty. State Representative G.A. Hardaway.
I can think of no greater betrayal than the person that you look to for help, the person that you look to save you in a time of crisis, being that individual who victimizes you.
Charges include second-degree murder. CBS News Brief. I'm Linda Kenyon.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Catch Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow at its brand new time, 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays.
The city of Shanghai started administering an inhalable COVID-19 vaccine. I hear a lot of you saying the same thing I had in my head. I don't know about that.
As long as they're not just crop dusting everyone.
Crop dusting, that's exactly what I think people would be fearful of. I would not trust the Chinese government. I would trust people who really know about inhaling something and the good that it does you. Of course, I'm talking about Dom and Crute.
We have to really understand how critically important a time this is. Time for talk is over. The time for action is now. Because my voice has always been and will continue to be for people who don't have a voice.
Tune in to the Earl Ingram Show every Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Only on WAUK 540 AM, 101.1 FM, The Shaw.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Most of them are named Gene of Eau Claire.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Most of them are named Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
I was in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean when it happened. There was a sudden jolt and our submarine crashed on the seafloor. We were in total darkness.
That's Dr. Dejana Figueroa, a marine biologist and STEM teacher, talking about a deep sea dive she'll never forget.
It's funny. When I was a kid, I was afraid of the ocean. And there I was, 2 miles below the surface. But as a scientist, you prepare for that. Using our training and a little creativity, we fixed the sub and finished our experiments. The dive was just too important. Every dive gives us glimpses at things few people ever get to see. Glowing creatures, fiery undersea volcanoes. When we got back to the surface, I kissed the ground and called my mom, of course. But you know what? I wouldn't trade that dive for anything.
Dr. Figueroa uses her passion for STEM to discover new things and make the world a better place. She can STEM, so can you. Check out She Can STEM for more stories and inspiration. A message from the Ad Council.
I grew up hearing that women are bad with money, but I pay bills and take care of my family, so I'm pretty good with money. And now I'm taking control of my financial future by saving for retirement. Jumpstart your retirement savings at WeSaySaveIt.org. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
I'm through with standing in line. The clubs I'll never get in. It's like the bottom of the ninth, and I'm never gonna win this. Life hasn't turned out quite the way I wanted to be.
Oh, welcome back to Raise in Wisco. Houston, 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw, WAUK. We are at Fishbowl at 217 Wisconsin Avenue, downtown Waukesha. I feel like I have to Venmo you guys for singing every single intro.
We are musicians.
You're definitely musicians.
We are musicians. Definitely missed my calling in life.
Yes, I missed my calling.
We were, before the break, we were talking about safe ice, spud bars, and what happens, or how do you determine what ice is the safe ice, what is unsafe, and now we learned about the sun.
Okay, so back on that topic.
Oh, we're gonna dive right in.
We're gonna dive right back in. So I'll finish that one up real quick. It's super, super simple. When you're targeting a lake, big or small, early ice, the sun is traditionally in the south, which means the south shoreline with the trees is casting a shadow. Mm-hmm. That keeps the ice colder. The ice is thicker.
Mm-hmm.
The north side of the lake is being hit by the sun. That shoreline and trees are heating up, which heats up the ground, transfers heat into the ground, which then transfers heat into the shallow water, which makes the ice thinner and unsafe. So when you're picking lakes early in the year, and you can ask him, I know exactly what lakes that we can or cannot hit first because I look for access on the south side. Now, will I hit lakes that have access on the north side? Yeah, I just know we need to be extra careful mm-hmm. because the access is on the north side. In early ice are way more likely to be unsafe.
That makes absolutely perfect sense.
Yeah.
And there's so much more I need to learn. And
it's never ending.
And the great thing about this is people do talk about that on Hard Water Freaks Facebook
nonstop.
Page. So like this information is, even if you don't even know what to think about it, just go on Hard Water Freaks on Facebook or Instagram and you'll find all this information on there too, most likely.
Drop a question, yeah, it's answered.
People post on there every single day, every single hour.
Like 30 posts a day at minimum of information.
It's an absolutely fantastic. And for us females out there, if you go to Casting Queens, this info is going to be on there too because I'm going to be posting tons of questions on there. So you'll see my questions. Roman, do you have anything to add to that?
I have a story if he doesn't have anything.
Stories.
Go for it.
I was going to tell a story.
We need to hear Roman a little bit.
So if we're talking about ice safety,
Step aside.
The ice is, I've said it before, the ice is only as safe as you feel the ice is. You personally, not your buddy, not your buddy's bud bar, not your buddy's buddy. There have been a few different occasions where I refuse to walk out on the ice that my buddies walked out on.
Oh.
I personally did not feel safe. it was just a personal thing. I walked out, I spudded. I did not feel comfortable on the ice that we were walking out on. I pushed out. I stayed up on shore and I literally stayed there and said, I'm not going any further.
But yeah, if you don't feel safe, there's no point. You're going to be overthinking it. Well, if you're
you know, Max went out, he thought it was great.
Oh.
Me personally,
I was like 275 yards out on this lake and I thought Roman was behind me. Cause I just kept going, because you spud bar your step, So I just kept going. It was like a maze because it was some pretty sketchy ice, but there was an access, you know, weaving in and out of mm-hmm. the bad ice. There was good ice, and then I look back and I'm like, he's so far away that I can't yell to him. So I bust up my phone and I was like, "What are you doing?" He goes, "I ain't moving." He's like, "I'm staying right here until you walk past me off this lake." And I was like, "We're gonna fish out there." He's like, "No, we're not." Like,
that's fine. You fished out there. I fish close to shore in the shallows.
He's like, "I'm gonna fish right here."
It was just a thing that I did not feel comfortable going any further than where I was at personally.
Have either of you ever fell through the ice?
I have never fallen through with my body. I fell through with my leg on Castle Rock Lake on a snow patch in an old hole that had gotten bigger,
mm-hmm.
capped over with a tiny bit of ice, and then snow fell on it, and then it stuck, and then the rest of the snow blew off. And that's where that ATV drove over, and then I fell through my left leg all the way up to my waist. But I've never fallen through because, you ask him, we've never risked it. There's no risky. Like, early ice, it is a spud bar every single step.
Mm-hmm.
And then watching for ridges in the ice, watching the cracks in the ice, we watch everything. Like, I don't think I honestly will ever fall through because I, as everybody on social media knows, promote spud bars. Yes. I use a spud bar. It doesn't matter. Until there's like 6 inches everywhere, we have a spud bar with us.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely even to bring when there is 6 inches because you just never know. It depends on what lakes you go to and everything.
Yeah. Like, and that goes for with our machines too. Like I've stopped two weekends ago on Peatonwell, I stopped and I checked out a spot of ice because it looked shady and you go figure it was snow covered, mm-hmm. but I noticed a difference in the ice and it was shady. We crossed it with the machines, but I dropped the ladies off. I said, you walk across. We're not going across with the machines with you on them. worst case scenario, obviously.
Yeah.
And then we hit them fast and just boom, boom, right across them, super, super fast, so that we didn't have downward pressure. We had forward pressure so we could cross this area that just looked shady, but we had to be on the other side. So, you know, no worries. And then we spotted it once, you know, later on, and I was like, it is pretty safe, but we're going to hit it fast again just to make sure.
Oh, yeah.
Just because it was one of those where it was like, I'm not pushing the issue. And you couldn't spud it because it was like chunky.
Ooh.
It was like chunky. I was like, we're just going to hit it fast. It'll be fine. It's thick enough that I know we won't break through, but it's definitely going to make some noise.
Yeah.
So it was one of those, you know, iffy spots. But we never push the issue. I will never walk out on a lake for funsies.
Oh, wait, no. Really,
I'm never like, hey, man, this looks like a lake where we could just, you know, put our life on the line. This sounds like a great idea. We're 10 miles from any car passing us. Let's just walk out there.
And that going up north to the lakes that I don't know at all. And like, yes, you look on Lake Link and all that kind of stuff. But again, I fish and hunt alone sometimes, not all the time. But when Bill has other plans or he's out working or whatever and out hunting and fishing with his friends, I like to go out because I'm still getting new friends out in the ice fishing world.
Mm-hmm.
Spud bar, definitely. I steal Bill's. I don't have my own. But the suit, the floating suit, to me, that's a new thing.
It is new to the industry in the last 5 years, it's been become a, everybody has it.
Oh yeah.
But 5+ years ago, only a couple people would have it. Everybody was still, I'm rocking my Carhartts. I'm rocking my Farming Fleet. Yep.
Carhartt Carls.
Yeah,
we were all Carhartt Carls
at one point. And I never had an issue too. Because I was a Carhartt Carl with a freaking spud bar. So I still have my spud bar. Like I never fell through then either. But the ice suit technology with floating, it doesn't matter what brand you use. I don't care if you use Ice Runner, Striker, Eskimo, DSG, Strike Master. There's a ton of brands out there. I don't care what brand you use. If it floats and it's proven to float, by the way, go float in your suit. Go out in the summer, just jump in the water. Because if you've never done it,
it's one thing I've never done.
I have done it. I did it and I filmed it. It is not what you think. You're not like, here's the water. I'm floating on top of the water. No. You are down in this water, full blown up to your neck, underwater. Your hands.
Did you just like walk off the pier, like you actually fell through the water?
I just ran into a lake and filmed it for the sake of a company that I was working with. They wanted to see how well it floated and they wanted me to film it. So I filmed it. Your feet stick out, your hands stick out, your head sticks out. The rest of you is underwater. And I'll tell you right now, the water I went in was like 50 degrees. It was cold enough that it was like, okay, I'm done. We're not going to stay out here. We're done.
So definitely nothing you want to do.
But it's like, if you haven't done it, do it. Because it is not what people think. They're like, oh, I have a float suit. You're floating, like in the sense of you're not going to die by sinking, but you are not floating like
you
a bobber.
You still need to do more work.
Yeah,
you put in the work.
It is not floating on top of the water.
I feel like this is a thing you need to do for the polar plunge. It seems kind of perfect.
I mean, you could do it. I mean, otherwise, just as soon as the ice goes out, or wait till midsummer just to be able to get comfortable with the fact of seeing how you float. Because now here's the other thing that most people don't understand. You have a float suit. That's cool. You can still die by just floating there in cold water with hypothermia. Yeah. You still have to get out.
Yes.
So ice picks is a huge thing.
Mm-hmm.
Ice picks. And if straight up, if you're not strong enough to ice pick yourself out, you're still going to die of hypothermia. So you have to, if you don't know how to do all this stuff, floating's cool, but that's the end of the road. Yeah. Like, that's okay, cool, you're floating.
You
awesome.
Floated to your death.
Yeah. So it's one of those things where it's like, you know, there's a lot more to it, and most people don't, like, practice it and stuff like that. You know, I work out. I literally work out for a living. I own a gym and everything, but most people don't, and it's not for everybody. So having the ability, can I pull myself out of being under, because the ice is obviously going to be above you when you're floating underwater.
And it's probably going to be cracking too. So you got to learn how to be spread out and not just try to climb.
There needs to be a plan. And the buddy system is the best plan.
Oh, yeah.
And there's companies like we use J Ropes. So J Rope, you know, shameless plug. It's a company owned by Michael J Rope. It's a rope that you wear for towing your gear. But worst case scenario, with one unclip of a carabiner, you have over 30 feet of rope you can throw to somebody, they can put around themselves, and you can help them out.
That's nice.
And they're becoming huge because it's all patented and it is all beautified for social media, and it is proven time and time again to save people's lives. And so the buddy system is the best way to help yourself. If you don't think you can pull yourself out with a floating suit on, the buddy system, you're welcome. Yeah. Like that's that.
And to help pull your friend out is creepers.
Yeah,
creepers are
ice creepers.
My jam. I need to have creepers on because I will fall. every single year. I fall multiple times. Without a doubt. Well. Even with creepers on.
I've fallen on camera. I think it's the funniest thing in the world. I mean, it's falling to me is like... It's not like, oh, shucks, you know.
Yeah.
It's going to happen.
No, it's going to happen, and it's hilarious when it happens because you know it's coming. And by the time it actually comes, you were ready for it all those times, and it hits you the moment you got lackadaisical. So.
And then the food goes flying. That's always when it happens to me is when I bring back food and food goes drinks. Everywhere.
I've fallen on top of my own tip-ups that I was running to.
Oh.
Slidden into them because it was glare ice. I mean. I've fallen so many times on the ice.
We do have video proof.
We do have video proof.
On the TikTok.
Oh, hard water braces on TikTok too?
Unfortunately.
Oh.
I hope they ban that so I don't have to post on.
So I feel like I have to go on there.
We are on every platform but Twitter. And the only reason I'm not on Twitter is because Twitter is its own jam. We'll just leave it at that. Twitter's a whole
I don't understand
it. I don't know how to use it. So I never really dabbled in the Twitter.
I mean, TikTok is the video version of Twitter where everybody just hides behind a fake name. You know?
I mean, I'm Danielle Fairman on TikTok.
You know, most people have a fake name. Like you give me in the comments like, oh, I really like ice fishing. It's so fun. Inbox. User 12765 QTR dollar sign. You're an idiot. You suck at fishing.
Okay, you don't even have a profile picture. Call yeah. Oh my gosh. Yep. Social media. I know I talked about it last episode and plenty of other episodes. But social media. It's a great thing and
powerful
thing.
Tool. It is the most powerful tool if you if you use social media and you address it properly with your eyeballs and you look for what you want to look for and what you want to see. Don't get caught up in believing everything you hear, because I will tell you right now, there are influencers, pro staffers, ambassadors in every single outdoor sport that do not know what they are doing. And I'm not going to name drop, but there's a lot of them. And they'll walk on the lake and spud bar once and then walk all the way to their spot and film them doing it. And they're like, check the ice. I'm like, nope. Mm-hmm. That's not how you do it. And people film themselves doing this. So it's be careful of what you watch. Watch a lot of that topic and pull the common sense from it. Because someone has a lot of followers does not mean anything.
Yes. And I there's a cop just goes by and shines his flashlight. I'm that person that if I see that you are pro staff this, pro staff that, pro staff this, pro staff that, ambassador this, like you have 15 of them on your Facebook page, I immediately say nope and I'm out. Like
they're very proud of that as well. Yeah, so it's really easy to pick out the ones that are doing.
Like, if you have 15 different ones, why don't you find one or two that you like die hard for and then do that? Like
pro staffing like, and brand like, ambassadors, influence. It's all a real thing. It is. But some people, and like anyway, I respect, there's a lot of people that have it on their profile. I respect them. But some people, I could drop a lot of names, but some people think that means something more than what the root cause of what you're doing is. A title does not mean you know what you're doing. Mm-hmm. A title, I mean, there's a lot of very relevant things in the world right now that somebody has a title and they have no clue what they're doing. And I will leave it at that. We will be quiet.
Slick.
But
slick.
A title does not mean anything. Mm-hmm. It does not mean you know what you're doing. It does not mean you're good at something. It means somebody saw something in you to give you that opportunity.
Yeah. And it's just, everybody is learning. Yeah. Ask the questions. And if you ask the questions to that person that has 15 brand ambassadors and so habits, like, if they're true to themselves, they're going to respond with an appropriate answer and not make you feel like crap.
The best thing you can do is ask them questions.
Yes.
Do not follow followers. Do not follow titles. Ask questions, get answers. And the best way to do that, Facebook groups.
Oh, yeah.
Just ask a question and you will get a pretty relevant answer.
Mm-hmm. You listen to Raise in Wisco. I would say chime in, but I feel like this is a very touchy subject. So please do not chime in. With that evil smile, everybody's got a drug dealer on speed dial. Well, hey, I wanna be a rock star. Hey, I wanna be a rock star.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
It makes me smile and you have a piano, but if you play the Peanuts theme song.
Oh
my gosh.
You know he can.
Yes.
On the Devil's Radio.
Oh,
Saturday nights, 6 p.m. to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha, live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at TheRickSmithShow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
Life had a remote control. You could pause or rewind. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the 1 minute risk test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times this afternoon, with daytime highs approaching 38. Southwest winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Lows around 30 tonight, cloudy. A blend of clouds and sun tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 41. Overcast skies Monday. Decreasing clouds by Tuesday. Highs in the mid-30s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 32 degrees.
A progressive voice for rural Wisconsin. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at WAUKradio.com.
Welcome back, everybody. This is 5:40 a.m. Waukesha. You are listening to Raised in Wisco with your host, Danielle, and special guest, Max Zaruba from Hardwater Freaks, and even specialer guest, Roman Michael from RT Outdoors. Today we're going over topics such as ice safety and general hardwater freak stuff. We are going to transition today into a little bit of duck hunting. So, after this great intro, we are going to get right back into it. Join us. Thank you.
Wow.
Thank you for tuning back in. We have a special guest here today.
I always wanted to do that.
You might recognize him from the cream of the top. We have Randy Savage.
Oh my gosh. Well, we're all about making dreams happen here at Raisin Wisco.
You just made one of my dreams come true, Danielle. Thank you.
Just so you know, I'm applying for your job. You're fired.
How's my radio voice?
It's very, I feel like you belong in a spa. Something very, or, you know,
I do. I am missing the really fuzzy microphone and that little screen thing in front of my mic.
Next time we'll do that.
My dreams come true.
Some cream. Some
cream, brother.
Cream of the crop, brother.
What is happening?
Rise to the top,
Daniel. Savage, Daniel. Yeah.
He's scaring my dog.
If you guys can't see this right now on here, but this dog just went crazy when we talked about
when his tail is going. So welcome back again to Raisin Wisco. Listening to 5:40 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw, WAUK. I'm not as sensual as Roman, man, but I get the job done. So before we went to break, we're talking about more about ice suits, ice picks, creepers, and buddy systems. Buddy systems is not only great for ice fishing, but it is great for alert hunting. Like if you're going pheasant hunting, going groups with going scouting, whatever you need, just go in groups because that definitely helps. Bandit is being adorable right now. Sorry, I think
it's better. It's more fun when you're in a group.
Oh, it is.
You got friends.
You create memories. Hunting and fishing and everything outdoors is about memories.
I gave up.
Those people that fish alone and hunt alone are a different breed of people.
Hey, excuse me. How many times did I say I go alone?
See, here's the thing. When I duck hunt alone, it's awesome because I could like get one duck and I will lie to you. And I will take 7 pictures of that one duck and I will text it to friends and be like, why I'm hammering them today, man. And then they'll be like, the limit's 6. And I'm like, oh.
I did duck hunt a bunch this year by myself. And it is fun. Duck hunting, I think, is fun by yourself.
It is.
Deer hunting, not so much, because it's always great to have that buddy to help you drag that thing out of the
ice. Yeah. But like ice fishing, I haven't ice fished in a long time by myself. Because I like to be with one other person just because it's social. You can move around, find the fish, work the fish, you know, the whole deal. But like, when it comes to duck hunting, like hunting by myself, like that is the only time that I honestly feel like I'm in touch with nature.
Oh, yes.
Like there's something about
mosquitoes and ticks biting me.
I thought we were going to go something really nice and like promote.
Yeah. And I'm like, you know, waist deep in mud and I've cussed out all my gear, messed the whole, broke a bunch of it because I'm mad at it because I did something wrong. I mean, duck hunting though, it's like one of those things where it's like, no matter how miserable you are, it's the only sport where I feel I'm actually in touch with nature.
Oh, absolutely. So. And definitely with just hunting in the tree stand too.
Yeah.
Right. Waking up with it. But I go out to North Dakota every single year for duck hunting. And it is absolutely fantastic seeing the tornadoes, duck tornadoes, not actual tornadoes. But just sitting out there, hearing all of them swirl above you and just laying there by yourself over with your dog. So I'm with my dog mostly. It's absolutely spectacular. But then I'm also the person that likes to catch and cook right away.
Yeah.
I like having it right there. It's something different to me. Not many people I'm finding out actually do it. Frying up that duck right away, eating with some mac and cheese right in that field.
I ate it raw.
Oh, raw? Oh, yeah.
So does Roman.
Freaking savage.
Just take it, feathers.
Feathers right, and everything. Just bite right into it.
Just bite right into
skin.
It.
Skin.
Yeah.
But
do you have one of those underground like duck blinds?
Would absolutely love to.
They have
do
a Blackstone in there and a heater and a TV. Oh,
that is
that.
Not legal in Wisconsin yet, I have heard from Joel.
Pit blinds. Pit blinds are not legal yet. Oh, but if you have private land, there's nothing DNR can do about it.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, that's, I've been seeing a bunch of it down in our, like on TikToks. Yeah. Again, huge. Social media, I'm seeing all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, oh, need to that do that, like need to do time. That. Her Wilderness is a female group that I follow that they book just all hunts for females. That's it. Obviously, people that are chartering it or hosting it are male. Some of them, not all of them.
Do you know why pit blinds aren't legal?
Why?
Tune in, DNR. We know you're listening. It's because the DNR has not found a way to make money off of your pit blind yet.
Well, everything is about money, it seems like.
The other reason is they don't want people digging 9-foot holes on public land.
A little frowned upon.
Yeah, a little frowned upon. Hey, what are you doing over 3 days with a shovel? Nothing. Nothing.
Nothing fine, new business.
Nothing about this.
But no, yeah, Her Wilderness is a great people that I go through for booking trips. They're the people that I went through for bow fishing on an airboat. First time ever on an airboat.
Yeah.
Fantastic. It was the coolest thing ever. But you give away, you say you gave away
an airboat trip to Casting Queens. Yeah. So we did a hoodie order and I told anybody who bought hoodies, if you buy a blue ink hoodie, I'll buy a kid's trip. I'll buy a kid's trip with the profit from that hoodie. If you buy pink, I will buy a women's trip for airboat Mississippi River for Casting Queens. Enough were bought that I was able to buy that trip and Casting Queens. Megan is going to fulfill that. We did a giveaway and apparently it's going really good. So yay. We are actually going to do that annually.
That's nice. I will definitely participate in that. Yeah. I got the hoodie last time.
She's got the hoodie.
It is the greatest, most comfortable thing because I like them. I like them thicker. And it's just absolutely wonderful. It keeps me nice and warm on the ice. Everything you need. And most of the sweaters that you find out there are super thin and just, you know, poorly made. It's just so annoying.
It is.
It's annoying finding good quality clothes to wear on ice.
It took me...
And not being all bulky. Like
three orders.
Camouflage marshmallow.
It took me three orders to find the right hoodie. And we've ran with that hoodie since because it's heavy. Everybody loves it. Mm-hmm. The quality is just insane. But I will say it is expensive.
I believe it.
So my cost on that, like most companies that sell hoodies, is like $7 to $11. Mine's like four times that.
But
that's because we use like top of the line hoodies.
Oh, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Thank you. But again, go to his website or Facebook page or Instagram page, Hardwater Freaks, and order some apparel. Yeah. We have hats.
You just go through contacting.
All the things. Perfect. Is there anything you guys want to touch on? Anything else that you feel like we're forgetting?
No. I mean, it's endless. I mean, like he was saying, we could talk all night about fishing. I mean, it's one of those things. If you're even interested in fishing, hunting, duck hunting, deer hunting, it doesn't matter. Social media is the king of the world now.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody is succeeding right now without the tool of social media. That's just a simple fact. And if you're listening to this, you're listening to it because of social media.
Oh, yeah.
So it's one of those things. If you want to learn anything, a question on social media is answered in seconds. Because, like, for example, with Hardwater Freaks, there's 27,000 people watching what you say.
Yeah.
So if you ask a question, 27,000 people... There's going to be some people in there with insight. Oh, so yeah. Go find some
good
groups.
And bad insight.
I'm not saying go to Hardwater Freaks. I'm saying go find fishing groups, duck hunting groups, deer hunting groups.
And ask even a question. YouTube. I never talk about YouTube. YouTube, I have learned so much from YouTube.
Yeah.
Because I just want to sit there. I don't want to hear other people's opinion. I just want to see what
YouTube
they're doing.
YouTube is endless.
And figure it out. But
You have listened to Raised in Wisco. This is the second segment with Hardwater Freaks, Max Daruba, and Roman Tuller. Thank you again for coming out.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Who knows? Maybe in the summer we'll have another tap water.
Maybe next week.
Maybe next week.
Maybe
next
tomorrow. Week.
Maybe in the morning.
Well, you've been listening to Raised in Wisco. I hope everyone will stay safe. Enjoy your winter.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripes Cast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m.